Okay, here we are, November 24th, and we're studying Acts of the Three Nephites, starting chapter 4. And Harm's going to lead our discussion. Before he gets started, I wanted to make a comment on the verse before. It talks about at the end of that, yea, even among those who are remnants of the tribes that each of us are responsible for, which are Jacobites, Josephites, and Zoramites. Now, those are three of the groups that came out of Jerusalem. The Nephi and Laban and Lemuel are the other ones, but I thought it was interesting that Nephites, there's no Nephites group. Jacob and Joseph are the three two sons who were born in the wilderness on their way out of Jerusalem. Isn't that interesting?
And fourth, I have it written down in fourth Nephi, verse 26. I think we get the same three names there.
What?
Yeah, go ahead.
I thought the Nephites were the from Lehi. And they included Jacob and Joseph.
They do, but they also include Nephi.
Oh, you're saying none of Nephi's descendants. I understand what you said.
Could it be something like the Israelites who were divided up in tribes?
Yeah, I think so, but it
Something
just
like that?
surprised.
It's interesting that three of the 12, that there are three branches in the first place representing the three Nephites. It's very interesting. Sorry, I tried to not
No.
use that word
Sorry,
so much.
Is
That's
that
I meant it.
first.
Yeah, in sorry, it was in verse 36 and 37. It actually says it twice, but it does throw in Nephites, where this one does not. So I don't know if that's I'm not sure the difference there, but it says, and it came to pass in that year there arose a people who were called the Nephites, and they were true believers in Christ, and among them there were those who were called by the Lamanites, Jacobites, and Josephites, and Zoramites. Therefore, the true believers in Christ and the true worshipers of Christ, among whom were the three disciples of Jesus who should tarry, were called Nephites and Jacobites and Josephites and Zoramites. That's in 4th Nephi, chapter 1, verse 36 and 37.
Yeah.
Interesting that the Lamanites are there and not here. So that could point out to the that Samuel the Lamanite has not been written down, that there could be some racial thing going on.
When the Nephites divided off from the Lamanites, I'm sure that just these were included. They probably felt, since he had been their prophet, and well, no, Joseph was a prophet. I just thought that after they divided, they were part of that Nephi group instead of the Lamanites. When they left into the wilderness. Also, they were not, none of them were brought up in the Jerusalem religion. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Think so.
Zoram,
Think it
what
rather would be.
Well, I'm a little confused by that too, but also it says Jacobites, Josephites, and Zoramites. Now, if you're going to include the Zoramites, why wouldn't you include the Ishmaelites? I mean, if those were the people fleeing out of, was it because he had only daughters and they joined the other? I don't understand that, but.
I think it has to do with the different tribes. They all have their own customs, cultures, rituals, and it's in the beginning, it's people began, it was when the people began to divide into classes. That's one thing. So that, and they began to organize churches for themselves. So there's a whole lot going on maybe within the tribes themselves, and that they, okay, Russell.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt your thought mid-sentence, but I think that the reason why the Ishmaelites aren't there is because the sons of Ishmael joined with the Lamanites and became part of the Lamanites, and the daughters became, yeah, their husbands determined the tribe. So I think that's why the Ishmaelites aren't there.
In 4 Nephi, verse 38 is something about the Ishmaelites.
Do you want to share the scripture?
En het geschiedde dat zij het evangelie verwierpen. It's in Dutch, so I don't have it here.
Well, I can read it. It came
Maybe
to
better
pass.
for understanding.
Yes.
It came to pass that they were rejected. They who rejected the gospel were called Lamanites and Lemuelites and Ishmaelites. And they did not dwindle in unbelief, but they did willfully rebel against the gospel of Christ. And they did teach their children that they should not believe, even as their fathers from the beginning did dwindle. So, yeah, they're part of the Lamanites group.
That's why they're not included, probably here.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep.
If we go back to verse 5 in this chapter, Acts of the Three Nephites 3, verse 5, it's somewhat of a chiasm that we figured last time. It does talk about the Lamanites, who they called Jacobites, Josephites, Zoramites. And then again, it says a little further down, the people who formed the church were called Nephites, independent of the tribe they belonged to. I, Jonah, being a descendant of the tribe of Joseph, one of the sons of Nephi, who was the chief disciple of the Lord. Which Nephi was he referring to? His father Nephi, who was the chief disciple, or Nephi, son of Lehi?
I think it's the first one.
The disciple.
Yes, I think so
Okay.
too. But there's a big difference, much more than we realize, I think, is in the tribes and the history of the tribes and the culture and the religion. Because it's not only one dividing church, it's churches. So there's also a lot going on in the different churches and good point, Russell, to start with where we come from.
Carry on.
Okay, so let's go ahead with everybody's okay with chapter 4. I shall read the first verse. And it came to pass when we returned among those who are of our people, because they began to be proud, that we ministered among them until the days when Amaron, the brother of Amos, which were the sons of Amos, my brother, yea, the one who replaced my father Nephi among the 12 disciples, when he took the leadership of the church among the Nephites. This is the proudness again. It's interesting that because you it says we returned among those who are of our people. So just before in 18, the responsibility each of us was responsible for. So it doesn't say necessarily that it did that it's working, that they can get to the people, but the only thing we have to do is minister again because they began to be proud. So maybe some of them could still be served. So that for me stood out. And the complexness of the wow, the delivering of the message. Why would we need to know all these details, because it's in the details the majesty of God is manifested probably. Any comments? Thoughts?
Is this Amaron, is this the same that's in Mormon chapter 1, verse 2?
I
It's
think
got a different spelling.
the next verse says it is.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the spelling of the name Amoron. If you do a keyword search in the Book of Mormon for that name, he's a Nephite trader. But if you do a keyword search for Amaron, that's the one who hid up the records for the Lord, who gave them into the hands of Mormon.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, very good. But it's so specific in the next verse. So maybe do the next verse. And Russell, would you read that?
Sure. And among them we remain again until the days when Amaron hid the records that were sacred, 320 years after the coming of Christ among the Nephites. It was then in this year that the Lord removed us from the midst of this people and led us to a distant land to minister among the Jews and proselytes, Gentiles. 5 years after we were taken away again from this people, the Lord appeared to Mormon when he was 15 years old for the purpose of to prepare to obtain these sacred records of the people of Nephi entrusted out to him by this same Amaron of whom I spoke earlier. I had a thought, and I guess I'll express it now. The fact that Mormon was identified when he was 10 years old makes me think, oh, here's 15 getting the records and so forth. But 10, I think, was when Amaron first came to him and said, you're special. I wonder if that's because there was a knowledge of the sacred ground here and who Mormon was before that he was called out at this point.
That's
That's
interesting.
Interesting.
I was thinking kind of the same here with the preparation because he's so young, and there's 5 years apart, and Joseph Smith is 15, I believe. So the whole I never it never stood out to me that this whole preparatory maybe because yesterday in the class of the testimony of brother of the speech of Brother Batista about the whole long period in preparation because he said it was 5 years after we were taken away from this people, so then there was no ministering. The Lord appeared. Let's see. Oh, is it here? Or is it another verse?
That's here. Lord
Yeah.
appeared to
So,
Mormon.
yeah. So he had to be taught to be able to do the thing coming in relation to the handling of the sacred records, probably because this part you need, the other part you need not. Why hide this and not the other thing? So it's a very spiritual job to do and to be able to do it. That for me, I never thought of that before. And now with the knowledge of the sacred ground, as you say, maybe even the same. Like what we talked about earlier with Morona being Nephi in handling the sacred scriptures and the thing you need as talents to develop to be able to fulfill the calling. That really is a lot in one verse about details. Also the sorry, I won't get into the numbers now. But that's also interesting.
Is there an
Okay.
indication that we know who Mormon was more recently? As far as the eternal round He was a Mormon at one time. What? Who was he more recently?
I wouldn't know.
Okay, I thought somebody. I thought I'd heard suggestion that Joseph Smith, Mauricio, was also Mormon, but maybe I don't know where
Yeah,
that came from.
I believe I heard that also in one of the classes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm confused with Moroni. It's
Yeah.
Mormon.
Yeah.
So the same thing to do with the and any kind of responsibility over the years that you know that these places are there, and you know them. You attend to them like a shepherd to the eons, maybe. That's a long time. Let's see. Any other comments? This verse? Maybe
Just
go. Yeah.
the comment, let me just paste this in the chat. In Doctrine and Covenants 24:1, it contains a curious phrasing. It's the Lord speaking to Joseph Smith. Behold, thou wast called and chosen to write the Book of Mormon, not to translate, to write. And to my ministry, and I have lifted thee up out of thine afflictions, and have counseled thee, and thou hast been delivered from all thine enemies, and thou hast been delivered from the power of Satan and from darkness. I mean, I guess we could take that verse and look at it from a different light. Thou hast been delivered from all thine enemies in all thy lifetimes in the eternal round. Every time he comes back to the earth, he's been delivered from the powers of darkness.
Brother Michael, that's the verse that Brother Mauricio pointed out when I pointed out to him that in the original Pearl of Great Price, it says that Nephi was the angel. He introduced himself as Nephi. So when I brought that to the attention of Brother Mauricio, he pointed out this verse that you just read, showing that Joseph was Mormon in a previous life. But there's a lot I just don't know.
Was he also Nephi?
No, or I'm sorry. Yes, I was getting confused for
Okay.
I can't quite remember. We would have to just ask the prophet himself about these things, because it's quite a topic for the school of the prophets. It's really deep doctrine, in my view, anyway.
I think, yeah,
I'm
go ahead.
what was the Doctrine and Covenants message there that you were quoting?
verse, it was Section 24, verse 1.
Thank you.
I didn't know there were different translations, Brother Aaron. In the original, you said? The original translation?
Yes, the original Pearl of Great Price.
Okay.
It was printed in Liverpool, England in 1851. I have the book. Do you want me to get it and present it on the screen?
No, that's okay. Maybe is it online?
I don't know if it's online, but I have a physical copy.
Okay.
But yeah, in there, in the Joseph Smith history,
Good.
the angel's name is Nephi.
Right.
It's very interesting.
John Pratt did an article about this back in 2020. I just pasted that one in the chat. He talks about the multiple mortal probations of the angels,
Okay.
and he draws upon that same information that you're talking about, Aaron.
Yeah.
Nephi And in that case, it was Nephi and Moroni. But I don't know.
There's something about this, the incarnation. I never even considered it until about the year before that I found a sealed book. Did I start to consider it an actual higher possibility after I started studying Hebrew Kabbalah? But it was sitting on my mental shelf. I knew it was something. I knew there was something true to it. There was a mystery behind it. It's just such a, just in my view, it's just such a deep doctrine, and it is sacred, and it's just a topic for the prophets.
I think, yeah, sister, go
This
ahead.
is a side note. Years ago, when my husband and I were much younger, he went on a trip to Acapulco, and I was in the gallery where they were selling paintings, and there was a painting I wanted to buy, and it showed this, the eternal round. And the artist explained it to me, but it was a local painting, so that meant it, this belief is held among the native people there in Mexico, at least. I couldn't get the painting. My husband didn't think it was worth it, but I still remember it and wish I could have purchased it. It. That's all.
Thanks. I think we're, as individuals, are also being taught by all these choices we have to make. And one more thought about the mystery and the incarnation, the reincarnation. Only for those who seek diligently for the mysteries of the heart, it says, I don't know where it is, it's in the beginning, I think. But I really love that because it reminds me now we talk about this, trying to understand these deeper things with Nephi, Mormon, Joseph in the handling of the sacred records that I am reminded also that this mystery of that we're trying to get people enthusiastic to do this what we're doing now to study the scriptures. And actually, I'm thinking about this whole tribe of scribes, which is first time we know that Lehi came from a tribe of scribes, and that they were all busy with language and codes and understanding. So we have to begin to understand. We have to become experts in the handling of the words, as it also says somewhere here. But also the calling of Mauricio, which is a very specific calling, which has to do with the bringing forth of new scripture and new perception of the priesthood. So the powers behind the priesthood, the feelings, and how can you develop the good feelings by study and acting upon what you have learned? So there's a lot to weave together for us to become strong and wax strong in confidence.
Brother Harm, have you read the Chronicles of the Children of Aaronic?
I have.
When you were talking right there, I just thought of the story when what's his name? Sharonek teaches Ryanek about the power of the priesthood. That's very interesting. I sent Brother Mauricio the PDF a few days ago.
In Portuguese.
Too bad it's not in Portuguese. Maybe in the future we can get it in the Portuguese through like a AIP readers, something, translator.
I think this is how our perception works. We read something with which resonates, which we what we already know. So the Lord would not reveal things if we didn't pay attention to the previously revealed knowledge. And then we have to weigh of heftet, hifke in Frisian, and heftet. I love the weighing. We have to weigh ourselves with our minds and hearts if we can use it. So I have no
Yeah,
problem of reading the Chronicles of Aaronic or the Mentina archives or the Keys of Enoch, or it doesn't matter where it comes from. Only the prioritizing is what you also taught Steve, that you can open it up. You can't expect to understand the whole thing, but by singing about it, praying about it, reading, and the fellowship, of course, do I really understand? To ask a question, it all works together if it's right. Brother Anderson.
yeah, I was just gonna. I just asked ChatGPT for if it could translate the document. If I gave it the document English, could he translate to Portuguese? And he said, "Yeah, I can do that."
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know you could do that with that. So
What
you can take the PDF to the Chronicles and translate it to Brazilian Portuguese.
a Well, I haven't given it the PDF to see if that's the case, but I just asked it the question.
Do you want me to send you the PDF?
I think I may have it.
I might have sent it to you before. I can't remember.
I think I got out to look for it and found it.
Oh, this is also good to share, brother, sister. Chapter one
Yeah, we need
of the three Nephites. When we try to under the chapter one, verse one. When we try to understand God's proceedings from a human perspective, the rest of the story looks to us a fable. Unless God gives the children of men according to attention and diligence to know its mysteries. So
Wow.
we
Amen,
have
brother.
to want to know. You have to really want to know, and probably when you were grown up in these tribes, as it's described in the tribe of scribes of Safon, that then it's not a matter of choice. We have
Yes.
an enormous amount of choice in the latter days, which is something a lot of people cannot cope with because it's too much. Leave me alone. Close the door. Get away
Yeah.
from me. Keep that guy away from me.
Yeah. I relate from a situation last night. I was sharing one of my relatives the sealed book, but he was asking, but there's sometimes I can only do so much. I can only just share the message, share my experience, share my testimony, share some of my views. My opinions don't matter. And then there's sometimes you got to be careful what ground you trek because then you sow something you don't mean to. I don't know. That's just a weird way I look at it. But
It's good to not go into the discussion too long, and just as you say, to testify, and keep feeling if it's not too much, too little. Can you ask a question? To answer the question,
Well,
you
an
really
interesting
have.
thing is in that a lot of the FLDS, how we worship in our hearts and the foundation we seek to build on, theirs in the FLDS is plural marriage. If does that make sense? So that type of reverence we seek to have in this second invitation towards God, they have that form of worship towards and a strong reverence for plural marriage.
Well, that's interesting because from the beginning, when I came with the church, this has always been the first thing people talk about, the wives. And for me, I my name Harm. I was always I had the whole band was female. Most of I only had one colleague on the drums on as a male. And the first thing which was written about my gospel band in the beginning was Harm with his harem,
Harem.
harem, yeah. So, but you know why the female we have to learn to understand, you know, the feminine, the in the Nemenha. It helps in the sealed book. It helps in the new revealed doctrinal covenants that it all helps to understand the sensitivity. Because why did I ask a female keyboard player and a female bass player? Because there was not so many choice who to ask, and the male electric guitarist, you can all create an image how that looks like. And he's loving the attention. And I don't know what it is. I now work with also it's not so black and white, but we have to understand what's the sensitivity here. Why does the Lord wants us to live a higher law? Why is this better or a higher way that we should strive for the fullness as Paul admonitions us to do? So we have a lot to learn and discover, but it's so interesting that it's all there at the same time, all the branches represented. Brother Keckler, do you want to I feel inspired to ask you, do you want to shed some light on the discussion now?
Well, I can. Let's go back to Mormon first. To bring it to our day, I wanted to tell you an experience. One of the things that has happened here in Palaeosa, as far as generating income, kind of exploring with businesses for the United Order, which would eventually be part of the United Order, is a metal business where they take sheets of metal and they're making symbols or signs. For example, the one on the church building itself that has the world with the circle and the five stars, it says Brazil on the bottom and Learning Network Project Zion or Zion Project, that was made in the study center with a thin sheet of metal, like similar to like a Coca-Cola can, the metal is that thin that you put on they put on a big table, and then with styluses, they'll take and somehow they take an image and transfer it to the metal, and then they work it so that it raises up part of the metal, and they can paint it and make letters and symbols and things. And they had plans, I think there's still probably viable plans to go out and generate income, like in signs for like a business office. An attorney wants his name up, you know, Attorney John Brown, it'd do a nice piece of metal work. And they were going to show you use it with the Boy Scouts to kind of have an activity. But the point was, the inspiration for that, Mauricio drew upon knowledge
Well, I've got to be careful how I say it, and I haven't, because I don't want to cause misinformation, but he drew upon knowledge that Mormon had, because Mormon was a worker of metal.
Oh,
And
Brother
that's why
Cackler.
he made the plates.
Brother Mauricio was telling me about this when I was in Brazil. I just
Okay, well then Aaron can verify this. So Mormon was a worker of metal. And Mauricio drew upon that knowledge to sort of get started in this business or in this activity of making these signs. And so the interesting to me is that in the second invitation, Mauricio has been accused of actually fabricating these plates, you know, that they were false, that they made them in the factory that Brother Valdesi had. And so they were accused of they were modern plates, and they made them themselves. The ironic thing is, in light of the eternal round, Mormon actually made those plates. And so it is not too far off base to say that Mauricio made the original Book of Mormon plates. But anyway, that's just between us. And so that's good. And then I don't, do you want me to talk about the plural marriage?
Yes, please do. Brother
I
Cackler,
just have a single
my
comment.
relatives.
I've come to learn why the Lord, in my opinion, does not advocate plural marriage, because I understand in creation, the Lord said, "Let us make man in our own image," and this I'm paraphrasing, male and female, you know, created he them, whatever. So that when a man or a person was made, it was made in pairs. It was made with a male and female spirit that was together, was the man or the person. And so the sealed book talks about eternal mates. Moses never found his eternal mate, etc. And he had children by blessing instead of by, what was the word? By blessing or by, I forget. Anyway, by, I don't know. I'll have to look it up. There's two ways you can have children, either by blessing or by something else. I forget what it says, but if you're with your eternal mate, that's the choice. That's the preferred. And so I come to support the idea that people were made in pairs. God didn't make a batch of males and a batch of females and throw them out there and hope, you know, let them find their proper mate. That they were made in pairs. And so each of us have a part of us that we will find in eternity, if not before. And so I really think that fits the gospel, is that so that's the way I see it. And so, and the Lord did the scriptures, our scriptures say that the Lord allowed plural marriages at times to create seed, as he calls it. But that's between him and the other people. But the standard is one man and one woman. And in eternity, based on the model in eternity, God chose who was the male, who was the female. We didn't choose to be male or choose to be female. God did that. And so that's my understanding. And so I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
I think
Thank
you're
you.
quoting from Jacob when you said that God allows it sometime to produce seed, and that's not what Jacob says. I think that's a misunderstanding of that verse. Jacob 2, I think, verse 30.
Have to do with the United Order of Enoch.
I'm quite adamant that Joseph Smith, for instance, never had plural wife. There was no plural marriage with Joseph Smith, only the corruption from Brigham Young on.
Thank you so much. I j want one more comment on what Brother Kettler said. What I was thinking about was when I read the first time the Mantina archives, what I found so interesting is the metalwork, which is described of Mormon. And that the people of the Nemana people, that they were not interested. So, unfinished business. If you don't resonate with the new possibilities of and hand and making your culture better, then you maybe become lazy in some way, and some blessings are retained and are hidden for later times. Just a thought I wanted to share because of the metal work, and it is so interesting that how it all is working together. Making signs. Also, I got a poem from Brother Brian McLellan, and he talks about the signs of Jesus, that he gives us enough signs. I'm sorry, I
to
lost
lead the way.
Oh, yeah, enough signs to lead the way. Jesus lights the signs for us. So making signs from metal. Thank you so much, Brother Keko, for that that image of pounding on a piece of metal. Thank you. Let's go.
I might just mention that the AI couldn't translate that. It had trouble with the PDF. It tried and it says, I can't get this. But it's doable. I mean, you can just copy and paste and do an online translation.
So you can't always trust AI when you...
It's limits.
Still have to use the spirit.
Not yet. Yeah.
Okay. Brother Rex, would you read verse 3?
3, yes. After some time being ministered among the Jews and Gentile proselytes, both in Jerusalem and in all parts of Asia, we were caught up from that place and reallocated among this Nephite people. It was when we ministered among our brethren again, and in the course these days I began to write this record that we were required to do, and the other two disciples who have accompanied me since then, let me write our acts among the people of Christ, dash, that we should go out on the face of the earth, ministering among all people, yea, among the Gentiles and also among the Jews, by virtue of the convincing power of God who is with us. That's one of those wow verses. It's like how many writings and sources are out there that we don't know about, that, you know, the Nephites ministered to different peoples throughout different times, and, you know, how exciting it will be to be able to gain some of that knowledge when the time is right. So thank you.
Thank you.
If we read
all
that,
positive. Go ahead, Michael.
Oh, sorry. Just the footnote, 3 Nephi 28:18. It says Mormon is writing this. He says, "This much I know, according to the record which hath been given." I'm assuming it's the record of the Acts of the three Nephites that he read. They did go forth upon the face of the land and did minister unto all the people, uniting as many to the church as would believe in their preaching, baptizing them, and as many as were baptized did receive the Holy Ghost.
Thank you. Also interesting that he says the two disciples who have accompanied me since then, let me write our acts.
He was the best writer, probably.
Yes, exactly my thoughts.
Most
I
talented.
put in my notes on my sealed book a while back for some reason. On verse one, I wrote about 325 AD, roughly, Jonah began this record. I wrote that for some reason. I'd have to dig in to find out why, but I remember writing that. So it might be kind of
Well,
based on the Mormon or the LDS scholarly dates.
or if you look in the previous verse, he talks about in the 320 years from the coming of Christ, and then a few lines later, 5 years after we were taken again from this people. So 20 plus 5 is 25. And then in verse 3, it was at this time when we ministered among our brethren again in the course of these days. So maybe that's how you came up with that number. 320 plus the 5.
Yes, I think you're right.
And it's so, sorry, so and also this year the Lord removed us, and the Lord doesn't do things randomly. That's the legacy of Brother Pratt. Let's go to the next Dolores, sister.
Yes. Verse 4.
Yes.
The course of these years, when we, the three disciples, remain among our own people again, behold, we minister to Mormon and his son Moroni for the benefit of the records entrusted to him to compile on plates, for how much these records, which I, Jonah, one of the three disciples of the Lord, was commissioned to do, which bears the name Acts of the Three Nephites, and also of a record, second record, which my father Nephi wrote by request of the Lord, as being the book of the prophecies of Samuel the Lamanite, and also the record I mentioned earlier on the revelations of John, written by me, Jonah, with aid of the other two disciples, concerning what we have seen and heard when we were caught up. I guess that means principle.
So I think that's what's on the other 23 plates yet to be translated. Prophecies of Samuel the Lamanite and Revelations of John.
And I can make a quick comment there. The other day, Mauricio made a comment in passing. He said that the part that's on the 23 plates, that it's the best part of those 42 plates. And so he looked forward to that. So.
Well, that Jesus explicitly asked them about Samuel, and now again, by request of the Lord, as Nephi says, and with aid, this also stands out to me, with aid of the other two disciples concerning what we have seen and heard when we were caught up. So they were with the three of them, and everybody has seen the same thing, I assume. So they would need, but the whole vision thing, that we see it in dreams, we hear it, and we see it. And we talked about this earlier, but what would the revelations of John, we all know the revelations in the last book of the Bible, and would it be overlap like it is with this book, or would it be like explanatory, like with first they give us Jacob 5 in the Book of Mormon with the grafting of the wild and the tame trees, something like that. We have no idea. It's the best part. It's good. It's always good to have
Cliffhanger.
a cliffhanger. Yeah, a cliffhanger. When I was young, I used to watch the A Team, and sometimes you had two series. Most of this was one, but sometimes the story was a little bit too complicated, so they had to cut it in two. But it was always the best if you have to wait a week.
But in the words of Morona, there's also a reference to this part, the inhoud,
Content.
the content of the sealed book. In verse 37 of Morona, it says, for instance, "Lastly, one third of the record of the revelations of John, written by the three Nephites, for insomuch that they saw these things revelated by an apostle of the Lord, whose name was John, when they were caught up and transfigured before the throne of God, were shown unto them all things unspeakable from the mysteries of heaven. But because of the command which they received in heaven to keep this knowledge sealed, they did not report it, because they ministered among all the inhabitant earth." It goes on, but it's just a small
One
part.
third.
And the verse before that also talks about what's in the sealed book.
Well,
As
well, yeah. It has the mystery of the heart has a lot to do with timing, probably. Okay, Russell, sorry.
we're about out of time. We want to read this last verse in chapter four.
Yeah, okay. Brother Steve?
I'll be glad to. These records, which I am referring to, were written by me and my father on scrolls of hides, which I have delivered into the hands of Mormon at the time we ministered to him and his son Moroni, so that Mormon would transcribe them on the plates that were compiling and finally sealing its contents, along with other records required by the Lord for a wise future purpose, in which we will return and minister together to the one who goes to read these records in the fullness of time. There's a good one.
Great. So good. This is so great. This is the compiling of the whole plan of salvation in one book. So for me, that this whole chapter resonates the importance of scriptures and why hide this and why highlight the other thing. So that the fullness of the plan would manifest. And it's so great, this verse. Also the hides, you know, the hides, they deteriorate through the years, and that, but we can use all these different materials, but the best, that's the metal that will stand the time, the gold. And then the accompanying with the sealed of the eternal round to who goes to read, and it's also about Mauricio, of course. Brother Kekler, I saw your
I'm
hand.
just going to say this prophecy was fulfilled because the three Nephites have returned and ministered to the one who is, in the fullness of times. I think we've all heard testimonies of that.
If we compare the footnote in Mormon chapter 8, verse 11, it says, "Behold, my father and I have seen them," speaking of the three disciples, "and they have ministered unto us." So there's the connection.
So the fullness also, I think, is the intertwinedness of history and the future, which also gives Isaiah such a exquisite position in tying everything together. Brother Keckler.
If I could just finish a thought we had earlier, I'd just like to give you a reference, a class that could read it on your own. In our articles, Revelations, Article 1, verses 66 and 67, they're pretty long verses. It talks about raising seed, and it also talks about having children by blessing or by promise. A first word I was trying to come up with earlier, it was by blessing or by promise. And so, anyway, if you want to delve in more about that discussion we had earlier, those two verses will, will add to the information. Thank you.
Thank you.
But we can't tell non-members that stuff.
Oh, you
This is
can't. We're gonna accept it.
It sometimes makes them run away, and then they just want to completely throw it all away. And it's like, well, heck, if I'm working with that kind of power, I don't want to do that if I can avoid it. But like I said, there's only so much I can do. Like Brother Harm said, you have to want it. I told this person last night, God works with people with through our desires. And right before I left that night, I said to him, because he was asking me all these sorts of questions about, do you believe prophet or the Brigham Young was a prophet? And a bunch of things. So, do you believe in Section 132? I say, yes, we do. But there were some things he'd ask me, and I said, I have no comment and I have no opinion on that because I don't know, like the new and everlasting covenant, I don't know enough about it because everything I understood about it before has come to a completely whole new light. It has nothing to do with plural marriage, but has to do with about the things that you were talking about, Brother Bob, about the marriage and the twin flames and our spirits being created in pairs. Anyway, I'm just rambling on a little bit. Sorry. Plural marriage is just quite a controversial topic.
For sure.
And either some people are willing to look out of that matrix, or they're like, nope, I'm a mole. I'm going back in my hole.
Keep the door shut.
Yeah, as bold as my words are, I don't mean to offend any that may walk
That.
and believe in plural marriage, because that's really the fine line where we're trying to find, or is it not, come to a common ground and truly feel that those unifying feelings that resonate with our faith in Christ. That's the whole thing with our sacred texts. It's finding that power with the Holy Ghost and have our as our constant companion and know the truth of all things.
Okay, Harm, are you finished now, or what?
Yes, I am finished, and I express my love for you all in the holy name of Jesus Christ.
All right,
Amen.
I'll stop the recording.